Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we covered some ground reflecting on last night's football. Then it all got a bit weird.
Pigeons in McFlurry hats.
That's right. Yeah, they're going to feature. And Christian Stevenson came in. He's a DJ and a cook, and he makes fantastic burgers. And he's now written about burgers in his new book, The Burger Book.
It's
got lots of different exotic ways to cook the burger. But isn't it a nice book?
Oh, it's a very nice book.
Really nice book. And he was on good form.
One of our other studio guests you'll hear is our producer, John Cadden.
Oh, is he going to get on?
Well, he will do, really.
I thought we were going to cut that. He was
really?
Pretty poor, actually.
I thought he was great.
Okay, we'll leave him. We'll leave him. He might get some more money. So here it all is then, this afternoon show.
Spat between Samo Farah and Haile Gebrselassie.
I know, yeah.
It's all a bit unsavoury. Haile makes Mo sound like Julian Assange. It's really bad.
Well, we're going to talk about it. He's alleging at the moment that Samo went into a gym at his hotel and physically assaulted a married couple. He's never going to get the compere's job on Mr. and Mrs. But
seems unlikely, doesn't it?
I mean, I've met him, what, twice?
Samo, yeah.
We've met. I mean, yes, no, he doesn't strike me as a man who goes into a gym and immediately set upon the mat. It just seems odd, doesn't it, really?
It does seem a bit
odd. We'll try and get to the bottom of that with someone who's been speaking to them anyway.
Anyway, I enjoyed last night's game. I thought it was a fascinating encounter. And I think United came out of it, you know, by the end, of course, they were well beaten. There's no question about that. In the second half, the City played some lovely football. That first half hour, they were well in the game. And
they didn't create a lot, though, Andy, did they?
They didn't, but, you know...
You look back on that first half and City still had the best chances, out-and-out best chances.
Well, they're the better team, you know. But I thought United, certainly, you could see they were up for it. They certainly made up for the performance against Everton.
But they seemed to punch himself out by half-time, didn't they? When City kind of stepped it up and they couldn't quite live with them after
one half Pogba. Is he only in half the PFA team? He only plays for one half, as far as I can see. He's done that in a lot of games. And they did it again last night. He was really up for it at the start. By the end of the game, where's Paul Pogba? He was one of those again, wasn't it? And, the City are wonderful. I mean, the football they played in the second half, that goal, the one where Aguero hit the outside of the post, that would have been such a picture-perfect goal. But I just think United are well in this, so people are sort of writing them off. But the top four race is fascinating. I looked at it last night, and Spurs can reach 79. They can afford one defeat, because the best Chelsea can get is 76, the best Arsenal can get is 75, the best United can get is 73. So therefore, Spurs can afford to lose a game because they've got better goal difference. So I do think you wouldn't want to, but you're a bit worried about Saturday. But
I am.
Everybody else has to really win all three to guarantee it. Chelsea could probably, if Leicester beat Arsenal, then a draw would probably be enough on Sunday. But I'm telling you, if United start the way they started against City, I think they'll beat Chelsea.
The thing is, Arsenal play Leicester on Monday, so from a Chelsea point
Monday?
Of view...
I thought it was Saturday.
No, I think it's a Monday game, isn't it?
Is it? We need to check that.
I think it's a Monday night game.
I thought we'd know beforehand.
No,
okay.
So you won't know about that until you come to play the game. So I think that could be an issue for you.
Yeah, but you've got to win. You've basically got to win all three games if you're Chelsea, Arsenal, United.
I just think, obviously, West Ham are going to be right up for it. It's the new stadium. It's not been a goal scored. Mm. So they're going to want to put that right. They're playing pretty well. Antonio's look good. They seem to have a bit of a... decent little run. I mean, they
but you've got Bournemouth, which you'll definitely
Bournemouth away,
Everton at home. A little bit of a tricky game, but you'd fancy Spurs. You know, when they need if they needed 3 points.
I think
on
Spurs.
The last
I think Spurs will make changes at the weekend. Pochettino will make changes to keep people fresh for Tuesday. Yeah. And I think,
like I say, though, you can afford to drop one game. If it, even a draw, you know, wouldn't be the worst result.
Oh, hang on, sorry. Leicester v Arsenal was Monday. Says Jeff Peters, now been moved to Sunday at noon.
Sunday at noon. I thought.
Do apologise. Yeah, yeah, it was originally Monday. So thank you, Jeff, for clearing that one up.
It's because I think Arsenal have got
is there Arsenal
Europa League?
Before the,
yeah, they've got the Europa League. So.
Well, I should have done what they did in Holland, give everybody 2 weeks off.
They can't afford to do that. No. There's some interesting things from last night's game. The fewest foul statistic, I thought was a fascinating, because after what Solskjaer had said, but I thought about this, and this, of course City have the fewest fouls. Mm. It's distorted by the length of time they have the ball. You know, they have the ball much more than the opposition.
Yeah.
So the number of fouls they commit actually are over a shorter period. So in the end, that statistic actually doesn't tell you anything about who's committed. It should be foul per minute without the ball. I know it's a very complicated.
Yeah.
But that's really the truth.
That's a good
statistic.
Stat, foul per minute without the ball.
I tell you what I do like when you're watching live football. You know the thing when the goals the goals update comes in and, you know, you hear that on Sky and then it goes, score update. So it's a little bit of drama. So you're thinking, score update from Molyneux. You think, oh, blimey, Arsenal have scored. Oh, no, they haven't.
Yeah.
It's Wolves. And then the next one comes up and you think, well, you think, I'm hoping for no more. Then another one comes up and you think, score update. Oh, it's Wolves again.
Yeah.
It's actually quite good. It's quite
and
dramatic.
Again.
And again.
That's what you shouted, wasn't it?
It was quite dramatic, really. Mm. But, so all in all, a good night's football. And
not if you're an Arsenal fan, no. Clearly.
Well, it's a good week for Chelsea. We picked up a point on United and Arsenal.
Yeah.
But it shows you if they'd beaten Burnley, it would have been, quite a crucial. And it seems like none of the three teams, it does tell you a lot, actually. It tells you that the top two are in a league of their own. Spurs are in a league of their own. I think they're, nearer to the top two than they are the ones underneath them. And Chelsea, Arsenal and United have all got problems.
They've got no right to be, though. I mean, Tottenham, really. They've not spent a bean. They've got a load of injuries. So how are they? I mean, it's just a mark of the manager that he's still getting a tune out.
They've got the best manager by a long way.
Yeah.
By a long way. So, that makes a difference. And he's very good at shuffling the pack. And also, he's much further in his project than, say, Sarri or Emery. Emery might, isn't doing a bad job. It's a big difference when you've been managing a team with success for 3 or 4 years than when you've been parachuted in.
Yeah, to an extent.
So
when you consider you're doing it with next to no money and having played most of your games away from home for 18 months of that.
Well, Wembley became their home. I wouldn't exactly say
it wasn't really, was it?
But what they've got is a very good squad. They've bought very well. And he's a brilliant manager. So that's the reason Spurs are up there.
Okay, we will. Luck,
is it?
I'm not saying it is luck. I'm just saying I think it's him. It's completely the manager.
Yeah,
I think
that's
he's just pound for pound. He's the best in the Premier League. I mean, he's never going to win Manager of the Year, but if he gets even a Champions League semi-final and top four with a hand tied behind his back,
I haven't ruled them out for the Champions League. I've had this feeling about Spurs for the Champions League this year.
Well, you're just double bluff because you don't want it to happen.
Well, I don't want it to happen, but I mean, it's like it feels like Chelsea in 2012. So.
Well, we'll see. Sven, have you noticed now he's gone bald or he's shaved his head quite close and got rid of the old the kind of mad Professor Barney that he used to have in his pomp? He looks like a Bond villain. He never looked evil before, but he looks quite evil now.
Be so wrong for Scotland.
Yeah, absolutely. That I can't say. That seems a weird. That sounds like something somebody made up on Twitter, and everybody's run with it. It just doesn't feel right, does it? Really?
He's been a great manager, but Scotland's so much better going the Scott Gemmell, the Southgate route. It's obviously a good route for them to take.
Yeah,
and Sven would, I think, be a disaster for Scotland. But there you go.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from Talksport.
Yeah, so you see, Madonna has said that she's become depressed living in Lisbon for her son's football career.
Well, she became a soccer mum, she said, didn't she? She just
kind of
picked.
It's a bit odd, really. I mean, why did
she have to pick him up from training? He's playing for Benfica.
Well, why not him say, in digs, in Benfica?
What, like a landlady?
Yeah, that's what they used to.
It'd help him grow up, wouldn't it, I suppose?
I'm supposed to be like George Best.
She wanted to be there for him.
I suppose so.
How old is he?
He's probably a bit young for
staying. He's only about 13. He can't go in digs at 13, Andy.
He's too young. But he's too young to sort of move the whole family over. He might not be
that
good.
It's quite a selfless thing to do, don't
you think? Well, it is, really.
She's given him a chance to do something, that follow his dream.
It's tremendous.
But it's changed, though. She said afterwards that she went to a couple of parties there and embraced the kind of the culture, and she's enjoying it now. She's kind of got into Portuguese culture and having a good time. So happy ending.
That's very nice, isn't it? Talking of Portuguese,
how's he getting on, young David? Is he?
I haven't had a scouting report.
Well, I think we want to know, don't we?
Yeah.
See how he's getting
young
on.
Banda.
Yeah, that's it.
And talking of Portuguese culture, did you see the Cristiano Pant ads?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
It puts me off.
Does it?
Well,
you're not really the target audience,
I suppose. Not really. If I bought those, I wouldn't look like that.
No, well, of course you wouldn't. But clearly, you'd imagine what they are. It's Cristiano Ronaldo looking incredibly ripped and oiled up in a new range of underpants that he's flogging.
Yeah.
And
they're tight.
But what is the mindset of someone with a little bit of a derby and love handles who thinks, yeah, I'm going to get me a pair of those and I'll suddenly look like that?
Perhaps you can tuck it in down the side. Yeah. I don't know.
They come up really quite work, high, is it, just, really? just below the nipple. They might cover a multitude of sins, but this clearly works. I mean, there wouldn't be advertising or marketing if people didn't think, yeah, that's me.
Well,
I'm getting a pair of those.
That is how it works. Bill Roach is 87 today.
Congratulations. He's Ken Barlow.
Ken Barlow, of course. Yeah, he's been in Coronation Street now. They put him for 59 years.
Yeah, good gig.
Do you think he's been typecast? Well, if I was him, I'd try something else. 59 years. Well,
it would be difficult, wouldn't it?
59 years. It's got to be a bit tedious.
Could you buy him as anybody else? It would be after. What's the cutoff? What's the cutoff for you being able to go and do something like Heartbeat?
About 4 years.
Yeah. No, I think you can get long. You know, because you'd see soap stars 20 years in one soap.
I'd like to see him pop up in Neighbours and go on a Bosman.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I can't see that happening at 87. Can you?
And Prince Andrew is the latest member of the royal family to be seen driving without a seatbelt.
Okay.
I can't quite work out what is this the sort of thing like, I'm too posh to die. Why would you not want to wear
a
seatbelt?
That's a Channel 5 show in the making, isn't it? Too posh to die.
It's a very strange idea, isn't it? Yeah. Oh, I can't be bothered. I'm too important to put on a seatbelt. Why would you not want to wear a seatbelt? That's what I want to know. Perhaps
no. It's a very good question.
And talking of things people wear, did you see Kim Jong Un? Yep. Doffing his trilby. It did remind me of the late John Rickman for fans of ITV.
Nice contemporary reference.
I thought so, yeah. I'll put that one in for Martin Kellner.
That's good, yeah. Yep.
And Andy Gray has got engaged. Not that one, Martin.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the Honourable. No, he isn't. He's marrying an Honourable. Andy Gray, only son of Mr. and Mrs. John Gray of Sydney, Australia, is marrying Daisy, the only daughter of the Lord Bell. Of Belgravia, London, and Virginia. Fancy being of three places. That's how posh he is.
Wow.
I quite like that. Yeah. He probably doesn't wear a suit. Oh, no,
that will make... It's true. The producer points out that when they get married, she'll be Daisy Gray.
That's very true.
One all record and Sir Bobby Charlton. Of course, one of our favourite TalkSport clips.
We'll find it
for you.
Talking
it's
of the producer.
Newsreading classic.
We have to bring him in.
Who's this?
The producer.
Yeah, come on then. Because we've got some work for the producer.
He was very, honestly, he was so excited this morning because I said to him, oh, we've got to get somebody on from Torquay because Torquay United cannot have a civic reception after lifting the National League South title as it's too near the council elections. And he said to me, has that made the Daily National Daily Paper?
Yeah, that's how daily it is. So Joan Cardigan, our producer, has joined us.
Yes.
John, you are a Torquay United fan. I think we may have got the subtext of that on the show. By
it's
the
been
fact
mentioned.
We have to have a talky guest every 20
very
minutes.
Deep in here, John.
Yeah,
much deeper than you normally do.
But so this does seem odd because they say it's too political. Is that right? To have a civic reception so close to the local council elections?
Well, so I hear. I read it on the Herald Express website this morning.
Well,
the local paper. I normally never miss. I thought that would probably be the end of it.
Is it the Devon Herald and Express? Or
well, it is. Yeah, it's from that. I thought that would probably be the last I heard of it. To be honest,
and then I mentioned it.
It's fairly ridiculous.
Are you bothered?
Not really.
Really? Wouldn't you have loved the old open top bus?
Well,
and
I still think they can have an open top bus parade. They've just sort of forgotten about that.
Oh, right.
Because it's been so long since we won anything.
Well, it's the first thing. It's the first title you've ever won.
We've never won. We've had to buy a trophy cabinet, especially because we've never won a single trophy.
Right. Big headline I've got on Devon Live.
I can't believe all the members of management have come in to see. This is a relevant story, management.
Yeah, look,
we're talking about Torquay United not having a civic reception. It's made the national paper. You don't need to pay. panic. You don't have to pay him more.
It hasn't. It hasn't, because number one story on Devon Live is Torquay Harbour.
Yeah. No, you do have to pay
me more. Charging for this one.
Torquay Harbour invaded by monster jellyfish.
Was it?
That's big today on the website. A huge bird-eating snapping turtle found in Exeter. I don't know where that was.
He doesn't like Exeter.
That's it, really. A man arrested. No, I can't do that one. Blimey. How's he doing that? Dirty boy. And a mould-ridden flat. Just some of the big stories in Devon today. But you've been knocked off the front page.
That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not a story.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, John.
Thank you very much, John.
Go find Daisy Gray.
Yeah, just go and get find that Daisy Gray kit, one all record, and Sir Bobby Charlton.
This story fascinated me as well. That and a lot of newspaper stories originate like this with what I would say was one tweet.
Oh, yeah.
So, for example,
a bit like Sven becoming the Scotland manager.
Very much so.
Yeah.
McDonald's was urged to redesign its McFlurry tubs after a pigeon trapped its head in one. You know, a bit unlucky for the pigeon.
Yeah.
The bird appeared unable to fly as it was photographed flapping about in a churchyard with obviously a McFlurry, sort of McFlurry hat.
A little McFlurry hat on, yeah.
It probably suited him. Rodri Lava.
No, that's good. A funny name for a pigeon.
Tweeted McDonald's.
Known as Malt in the dressing room.
It's Lava, actually. Just seeing it. Okay. My eyes aren't good. Tweeted McDonald's after his wife Nicola spotted it in Cheltenham. He isn't loving it, said. Consider a redesign. Which was just a sort of mildly amusing comment from one bloke to, you know, that's not, McDonald's haven't been urged to redesign.
Well, you know.
Well, they're not going to redesign their McFlurry.
I would imagine.
How many times has a pigeon had its head caught in a McFlurry pot?
It only takes one pigeon, especially called Alan Lava, whatever it was called. But the
pigeon's not called Alan Lava.
But, you know, I imagine they machine up globally to make the lids for their McFlurries. And they're making trillions of these things. One, I mean, look, I feel sorry
it's
the pigeon.
Rather than the lid.
And if I
do well to balance the lid on his head. And he wore the tub as a sort of top hat.
If I saw a bucket head of the pigeon world, but if I saw a pigeon with a McFlurry bucket on its head, I think a bit like Francis of Assisi, wasn't him, was it? Who was it? Somebody up the line took the thorn out. It doesn't matter.
Oh, Androcles.
Androcles, that's the boy, yeah.
Or Androcles.
Androcles.
Is it?
I'd go to him and I'd take the bucket off his head in an act of humanity.
That's much more likely to
do. So that's all
do.
You really need to do, just to approach the pigeon.
I mean, if it was happening on a regular basis, if you went to Trafalgar Square and you saw like hundreds of
pigeons
wearing McFlurry hats on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You'd say, need to redesign this.
That's a great photo op, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Well, thanks for bringing us that, Andy.
I thought so, yeah.
So anyway, let's just bring you that. Go on, let's just chuck in an old clip. It was one of the newsreaders, Daisy Gray, got slightly lost when she was reading out a sports story.
Manchester City surrendered a two-goal lead to draw 2-2 with Tottenham in the Premier League's late game. It means they're now 9 points behind leaders Chelsea, who play tomorrow. Earlier, Wayne Rooney became the best 1-1 record, and Sir Bobby Charlton. That's the latest. I'm Daisy Gray.
It's brilliant.
Fantastic.
The other reason I like that clip is Chelsea atop of the table.
Wouldn't it?
You keep playing it. I can imagine it's now.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if Wayne Rooney, he gets a kind of an evening with and he looks back on his career and he'd say, Wayne, what would you say is your favourite moment? He'd go, and then he'd say, it was that moment when I became a 1-1 record and Sir Bobby Charlton. Who can possibly forget?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets.
In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A little bit of Prince, we play that because in our next guest book, that is music to make burgers to. He is a DJ and he is a cook as well. He's written the burger book. And Christian Stevenson joins us in the studio. Good to see you.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All the pictures we have seen of you, Christian, you're a man with long hair and a big full beard, but you've come into quite clean shaven, a clean cut look you've gone for.
Well, you know, I did grow the hair out for Tom Petty. You know, I got to see him right before he passed away, yeah. You know, with Stevie Nicks at Hyde Park. So I thought I'd grow my hair out in honor of Tom Petty. I'm a big fan. Also Jackson Browne, and then also my girlfriend likes short hair, so I got it all cut.
So you've got it all cut. And how are you feeling today? Naked, I would imagine. This must feel a bit weird all of a sudden.
I had my first beard trim done by a professional. I don't know why I've never done it. Now I'll never look back, apart from the fact that it does cost double.
It looks good.
You guys are too nice, man. Hopefully you're being charitable and not blind.
No. Interesting. I mean, as soon as you open the book, the first thing you see is music. It references
Correct.
To tracks. What's that exactly?
Well, we do festivals, and I've always DJed, I've always cooked barbecue, and in 2012 I decided to put them both together. So mm-hmm. we try to create a catertainment experience. So I DJ, I've got a couple of DJs, Get Down, Johnny Boots, and we all spin tunes. We have our own stage because our crew likes to have a good time. So we'll play the theme song from Armageddon, you know, we'll play some funk, some soul, and the quickest way to someone's heart is through their stomach and their ears.
Wow.
And so we try to catertain. We play good food. We play good music. We serve good food. And good food, good times, and that's it.
You focused on the burgers here, and there's some lovely inventive ones.
Well,
I'll tell you, these ones you've kind of built up over the years of experimenting.
Well, a couple of them are from my mama. There's the gravy, Mama's Gravy Boat Burger. She would do these big vats of gravy and throw in these kind of burgers or Salisbury steaks in there. And then I kind of made it into an open-faced sandwich, which you get at truck stops in America. So two buns or ciabatta buns, mashed potatoes on that. You put the burger on top and then drizzle the gravy on top of that. It's just like a good kind of comfort food.
What's your barbecue tips you put in here? I take it you're always on coals. You're not gas, are you?
No, I mean, you know, I started on gas, but once I discovered there's better flavor with coals and a better heat, that I went to charcoal.
Okay, right. Fair enough.
That's absolutely true.
And always set up your grill for like half and half technique. Everybody's kind of covers the bottom of the grill with loads of coals, but you give yourself no safe zones. If you get the flare-ups or any kind of fats kind of coming up, you need a place, you need a goof-proof zone.
Yeah, resting area.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a great system.
That's a good tip, actually.
Do you not do that anyway? Well, somebody showed that to me, and I thought, well, of course. No wonder all my food was on fire for about five years.
I use the edge of the barbecue, but that's a much better method.
Yeah.
What I was pleased to see, because this is something that I think a lot of people don't do. I remember Heston Blumenthal doing an investigation into the burger. What was the perfect burger? And he started to do all these different cuts of meat.
Sure.
Because most people here will just go to the supermarket, buy some mince.
Yeah.
It's there. And they sort of put it into a ball, flatten it, and stick it on the barbecue.
Correct.
Whereas you, a bit like Heston, have analysed the different types of meat that people need to buy and then mix up together. I know it's elaborate, but that's kind of the best way to get a really steaky, juicy, meaty
burger. I mean, there's different flavours, you know, from different parts of the cow. And, you know, we try to show you how to do the best. But the one thing to do when you go to a supermarket is just don't buy the 5% lean, because there's no fat in there, and fat is flavour.
Yeah.
You know, you want to go minimal, 20%. And then it's funny, everybody always goes for the leaner meat. I'm like, no. I don't want a dry burger. I want it dripping. I want to need a plethora of napkins, you know? So it's all about a juicy, juicy burger. So you want that fat, maybe add some bone marrow or some suet in there to get some extra juice.
I bet some of the vegans out there are sort of tutting away. But
there was an interesting program on veganism this week on telly, and they basically they've come up with this burger in America that is made from plant, and the presenter took it to a beef farm in Texas.
Yeah.
And he cooked them all these vegan burgers, and they're all going, this is delicious. That's wonderful.
No meat in it.
No meat in it.
Oh, the Impossible Burger.
Could be, could be the future for people who don't like meat.
There we go. I mean, I think with all my books, I write these books with a guy called Chris Taylor, and he's the guy behind the scenes on MasterChef and Great British Menu. So he's like the Oracle. If the Oracle and the architect in The Matrix had a love child, that'd be T-Bone. So he knows it all. And we do about, I think, 1/4 vegetarian recipes. But it's weird. Half the recipes that people copy from the book and post on social are the vegetarian ones. So I think, you know, there is a big movement for the vegan plant-based diet, and we should be eating less meat. But I do love my meat, I just try to say source your meat responsibly.
We've done kind of steak tartare version here as well of a burger, which is quite interesting. Yeah.
The breakfast burger. I like the look of that.
We get ready to blow up the Death Star burger. That's one of my favorites. Because you don't see them eating on Star Wars. I think there's one point where you got, Yoda going through Luke Skywalker's bag when they're, he's getting trained to be a Jedi and he's eating one of his power bars. But you never see them eating. So that book, that burger was dedicated to Luke as he took out the Death Star.
Where'd you stand on food as a challenge, burgers as a challenge? Our old mate Adam Richmond will pop in and see us when he's in the UK. And, of course, he did Man versus Food. And, where'd you stand up on that, the burger that if you finish it, you get a certificate, and where you're drifting in and out of consciousness? It doesn't feel right.
No, it doesn't. I don't like the gluttonous side of that. No, I mean, it's fun every now and then. But I enjoyed the show because I just wanted to see what people were eating. Yeah. I don't need to see someone eat a 12-pound breakfast omelet. And, when they lay all those eggs out, it's like a doormat.
Yeah,
and with a pound of hash browns. So, but he did lose a lot of weight after that show.
He did. Yeah.
he had to.
Omelets. You've got one here for the cheeseburger omelet, which is exactly what it says. It's a burger inside an omelet.
That was my middle son Noah. Just said, Dad, can you make me a cheeseburger omelet? I'm like, well, I've never done one before, but because I have a YouTube channel.
You're right.
And with about 350 videos. It's all free, So if you don't want to buy the book, just go on there and you'll see most of my recipes.
Where I would take slight issue with you is... No, it's a lovely book. But, for example, the fish and chips burger.
Yeah.
I would say that's basically a fish and chips sandwich. Correct. Same with the steak sandwich. It's not, a burger surely has to be a patty.
Yeah, I mean, I just think you're right. That's the classic cheeseburger, but we want to have some fun. And that recipe was inspired by going out getting fish and chips the night before. Next morning next day at lunch, hey, I got leftover fish and chips. I'll put it all into a bun. But that way you actually get a full recipe for fish and chips, mushy peas, a fresh tartar sauce, and a really good batter to do fish and chips.
Yeah.
So it gave us an excuse to kind of do way more than just your normal burgers.
You've also looked at the bun, the perfect burger bun. You've made your own buns, haven't you?
Well, I teamed up with a guy called David Wright. He was Baker of the Year in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, dude, can you write, because he does our festival burger buns.
Yeah.
I go, can I sit with you and write the ultimate recipe? So, and David and I are trying to turn his grandparents' bakery into a burger restaurant, burger and pizzas. That's what we're working on right now.
Wow.
You mentioned your mama's burger. It really does look sensational. Mama's gravy burger. This is basically a burger on top of some mashed potato with gravy, and then the burger bun underneath.
Yeah, and then just drizzled. Because I think what I like about England is you guys love your sauces, you love your gravies, and that one, a lot of my friends up north are like that. That would sit well on a northern dinner table.
Well, it's good with the chips too.
Where are you from in the States originally?
I'm from Maryland.
Oh, okay,
so
right.
East Coast. Daddy's from Iowa. My mama's from the South, Virginia Beach.
Yeah.
And I grew up on the Mason-Dixon line, so I got a lot of bit of North, a bit of South in me. And my barbecue comes from the East Coast. A lot of it's derived from Carolina.
Okay.
So we did a book last year called Fire Food, and a lot of my barbecue comes from that region. But I've been walking the earth for a while. So
people are very territorial. We had a friend used to work with us from Memphis, and we went and saw her. That you're very territorial about the not just which cities in that part of the world have the best barbecue, but which restaurants there. And you go to one, but you don't go to the other one because that one's the best. It's kind of a big deal, isn't it?
Really? But it is, I think, for the people that do that kind of eating. But all the pit masters, they're all friends. It's a camaraderie. And know, it's a crew. But it is. I mean, you go in Carolina, there's like, you know, there's mustard base, there's vinegar base, and you go to the Piedmont region and, you know, people like to order a thing called outside brown, which is the burnt ends of the pork shoulder world.
Burnt ends, lovely.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan. German, big fan. I'm starving now. Burnt ends. You play for Germany. So you do love your sport. You're like, you used to coach a bit of soccer, we understand.
I did coach soccer. And right now me and the kids are watching, because I'm a single full-time parent at home. And we're watching the basketball playoffs.
Oh, okay.
So we got to watch Damon Lillard nail the deep three with 0.1 seconds left on the clock. So we're big basketball fans, but I also grew up playing soccer.
Okay. Golden State getting a bit of a workout this time, aren't they? They've been pushed all the way, aren't they?
It's good to see. You know, we like watching Golden State, but I also kind of want to see someone else have a shot.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma went down recently, and that kind of upset my oldest son because he's a Westbrook fan, but Lillard, you know, put 50 points. You know, they say it was the best buzzer beater in the history of the playoffs.
Fantastic.
It was exciting. They're showing it on Sky, which you must like. Are you watching? Are you recording them, watching the next day? Because the time's difficult.
It is. So I've got the NBA pass. But the problem is trying to make sure no one watches anything on social media to find out the score.
Yeah, you must have seen the result. That's
the difficult thing. The book is a lot of fun. That's the thing that really comes across. There's a real kind of joy to it and all the recipes. So we wish you well with it.
Thanks. Thanks for having me on the show. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So it's called The Burger Book. It really is a cracker. You can pick it up now. It's published by quadrille.com. You can find all the information there. And as we said, lots of recipes, lots of things to try over the summer. Good to see you, Christian. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. We're done. We return tomorrow. Alan Stubbs will be here, formerly of Everton, of course.
Good.
Motti's back. We'll have the clips of the week. Martin Kellner. I'm sure Martin Kellner will have his say on Roy Keane and his appearance on Sky.
Yeah, I'm going to, with Motti tomorrow, I'm going to go through the games that are left. We're going to predict them. So, how it's all going to finish the top two and the race for the top four.
Oh, okay, good.
You might not want to do it.
He might refuse. Well, producer's just dropped his phone. We'll catch up with you tomorrow from one. Thanks for downloading us.
Massively clumsy.
Leave that in. John said massively clumsy.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.